Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Are you heading to New York City to ring in 2024?
Happy New Year!
On Friday in Times Square, they tested confetti, but other preparations for New Year's Eve are no joke. A law enforcement bulletin obtained by CBS News warns of a heightened threat of violence through the holidays. FBI officials say there are no known credible threats, but they have received thousands of tips in recent months with particular concerns about lone actors. Security officials keeping their eye on the ball while the world watches the one in Times Square. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
Well, while the weather is expected to be pretty mild in New York for New Year's, they're dealing with some nasty weather on the West Coast. Meteorologist Reynolds Wolf with the Weather Channel.
We've got several sources of energy that are going to make the way into California, and the result is going to be possibly some heavy rainfall. Could get some mudslides. Another thing to watch will be the snow that will begin to pile up across the Sierra Nevada. Keep in mind, you could also have a lot of wave action up and down the coast. So Pismo Beach, places like Redondo Beach, be ready for that.
South Africa is accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza.
Lot libel and disgust. This is the reaction from Israel after South Africa accused it of failing to prevent genocide in Gaza, saying Israel's actions are genocidal in character. Israel rejects the harsh allegations, accusing South Africa of collaborating with Hamas. Meanwhile, the Israeli military continued its attacks against three refugee camps in central Gaza, where it says Hamas is operating from. The United Nations is estimating that Israel's attacks are forcing 150,000 Palestinians to flee the camps. Yotam Confino for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
Ukrainian President Zelensky visited troops on the front line of its war with Russia hours after a massive attack. BBC correspondent James Waterhouse in Kyiv.
While Moscow is trying to damage Ukrainian morale, President Zelensky is trying to boost it by visiting troops in Avdiivka, one of the most hostile parts of the front line.
New research has identified 15 risk factors for young onset dementia. Here's CBS's Michael George.
A study published in JAMA Neurology looked at 350,000 people under 65 years old in the UK. Education, socioeconomic status, and common health issues like vitamin D deficiency were among the factors influencing dementia outcomes.
If you got a portable blender for Christmas and were ready to make all sorts of protein shakes to lose weight in the new year, check the brand. BlendJet 2s have been recalled by the Consumer Product Safety Commission because they can overheat or catch fire, and they say the blades can break off while blending. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report finds smart toys pose all kinds of serious risks for families. Mike Moan reports.
The smart toy market is now a more than $16 billion industry and is expected to double by 2027. This holiday season, experts are warning parents to check the safety and privacy features of toys children receive. Teresa Murray with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund says stuffed animals, baby dolls, racer tracks, and even board games may have features that allow them to record conversations and collect personal information and location data.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
This year, the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice charged Amazon with violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act rule by deceiving parents and users of the Alexa voice assistant service about its data deletion practices. The company allegedly kept voice recordings of children and gathered geolocation data and used children's transcripts. Congress did pass tougher toy safety regulations in 2008, triggering a spike in recalled toys that suddenly didn't meet safety standards. Murray says that while the number of unsafe toys has gradually decreased, parents still should inspect their children's toys.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose, nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
And while toy-related deaths and injuries treated in emergency rooms among children 14 and younger have declined, hospitals and doctors' offices around the country still see more than 150,000 toy-related injuries a year. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X,
with your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly to mostly cloudy skies today. We'll see a high near 40 degrees. Some snow possible tonight with a low near 28. Snow is likely for Sunday. It'll be windy as well. North winds about 30 miles per hour. For Sunday night, chance of snow 26. Monday, sunshine and 35.
Right now, 35.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are powered by Everlight Solar. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to a new episode of the Cripescast. I am joined in the Cripescast studio by Colleen Maraca. What's going on, Colleen?
We move stuff around, so I'm getting used to the new layout. I feel like I'm like sitting here looking at you sideways, and I don't really like it.
Giving me the side eye.
Side eye. Unintentional. But yeah, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Had the Cripes Christmas party last night.
That did.
That was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah. We rented out the basement of North Avenue Market in Milwaukee.
Really great. Yeah.
Solid spot. They got a cool bar down there. We played Jenga. Big Jenga, drunk Jenga, whatever you want to call it.
Giant Jenga. Yeah.
Jenga.
I've also played drunk Jenga. You were there for my Halloween party where I had that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where you pull it out and it has little things you're supposed to say, like your biggest fear in life or whatever.
Yeah, and then one of my favorite ones is like, if you don't do what the thing says, you have to take my friends as a shot or like a sip of your drink or whatever. My favorite one she wrote was, go home.
Had I pulled that, I'd been like,
darn, gotta go. But yeah, so we had giant Jenga and we did Christmas and our holiday party, and it was really nice.
Yeah, it was a fun time. So folks, this week on the podcast, I've got basically a behind the scenes look for you. While we go on the road, we were in Eau Claire over the weekend. Adam Gruhl from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades and my collaborator on our new album, Dive Bar Dinner, was there. And we talk about the new album a bit, give you a little insight onto that. And then also Dante Williams is my producer over here at Cripes Inc. He is joining the podcast. And Bill Doucette, who you've seen from the Boston videos and a ton of other videos we've done, he is on there as well. So it's kind of an in and out of the green room. Bill's sort of in and out. He was helping out with merch. Dante was in and out. He was helping Bill out with helping merch. And then me and Adam were there consistently the whole time.
It's reminiscent of, so Adam's been on the podcast before. So is Bill a couple different times. It's reminiscent of Cripescast Snowed In, where it's like a rotating mic.
Oh, yeah.
So this might be one that if you're listening right now, not on Spotify or on YouTube, maybe you want to watch because you might be confused a little bit if it's, or do you guys do a good job?
I don't think there's a whole lot of confusion in the voices, though.
Okay.
I mean, I think because Bill, I was thinking about that too, but they all have very different voices.
It was funny last night, like Dante was talking crap to Anya, like pulling a piece or whatever. And she goes, shut up, Charlie. So you and that's where I'm like, you and Dante might have a little bit of a...
Maybe me and Dante do sound similar.
In some ways. But I'm just saying like that would have been a fun way to like push the video podcast. But if you don't want to, like, that's fine.
Oh, I like how you're pushing the video podcast.
It's just like an idea.
That's very good producing skills on that, Kelly. And that was really good.
Anyway, but yeah, so you guys had the shows in Eau Claire and then you have a little bit of a break.
Yeah, got a little break, and then new tour dates next year coming up.
Yep.
So, if you're looking to get someone some for Christmas, just get some tickets or whatever.
By the time this comes out, it's probably too late for you to buy a gift that'll ship on time.
Yeah.
So what we recommend is just getting tickets to Charlie Barron's.
What we recommend. Yeah.
Nothing, 9 out of 10 doctors also agree.
Nothing says I love you like I just Googled this present. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
If you want to get those tickets, just check out kripescast.com. Click on the tour section. And if you want to know what life is like backstage, here is my conversation with Dante Williams, Bill Doucette, and Adam Gruhl. Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of the Kripescast. Today, you are joining us in the green room in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We've got a couple shows this weekend at the Pablo Center, and I am joined this week by you're getting the behind-the-scenes look at what goes on tour. I've got to my left, Bill Doucette. Billy Deuce, you've seen him in a lot of my videos. Our videos,
yep.
A lot of great collabs from the Robert De Niro to the Boston guy in Wisconsin.
Yep.
We'll get to more deeper questions on that in a second. But Bill, okay. Any first thoughts for the audience here?
No, not too much to say. We're here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Nice area.
It is a nice area.
Great green room here.
Yeah, it is. You're drinking yourself. We don't have Lineys up here somehow, but they stock the coolers with Coors Light.
Coors.
Which is in the Molson Coors family.
So, yeah, it's
all good. Anyway, I'll keep going around the horn here. We've got Adam Gruhl. Adam, you got a little stuff in your beard right there?
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Tinsel.
Got it. A little tinsel in the beard.
Yeah.
That's all right. You got it taken care of. Adam Gruhl, ladies and gentlemen, from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. He and I have a new album out called Dive Bar Dinner, which you can purchase on kripescast.com. And it's a real humdinger. Adam, any further plug you want to give the album right off the top here, guys?
You know, I like it. I think it's nice music, Americana music, which is, you know, basically unsuccessful country music is what it is. And, but yeah, well, as far as what I'd like to say right now, I was walking through the streets. Eau Claire has music. Place like, and you kind of are looking around trying to figure out where it's coming from, and it's not particularly apparent.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dante Williams. He is a producer here at Kripes Inc. He is a tour manager, wears a lot of different hats, and does a hell of a job. Dante, any further intro you want to give yourself?
I feel like it should have been longer.
Expecting
a longer intro for the amount of stuff I do for you.
Give the people just a sense of, you know, I think there are some people out there that actually think I do this all on my own. I correct the record anytime it's brought up, just so you know. But give the people a sense of what is involved in working for this place.
It's a lot. You'll probably need a therapist eventually once you're a certain ways down the road.
Eventually?
Another one?
A second one to correct all the stuff the first one says to me.
Okay.
But no, Charlie doesn't do a lot of this by himself. We have a great team. There's four of us.
Well, there's more than that. There's
Dante. There's Colleen.
Dante, Colleen, Anna, John, Molly, myself. Molly. So six total.
Six. Okay.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Math was never my strong suit.
Bill.
Yeah. Well, I've always known we weren't totally part of the team in any way. Yeah.
What's that?
I never felt like I was really part of the team, and it's clarified it.
Yeah.
We're going strictly off.
Go to the bar.
The W-2s. Yeah. You know what, guys? Don't go to the bar.
I saw. There's so many cool little dive bars I just noticed too in town. I'd like to stop at every one of them after hearing what you just said.
Oh my gosh. All right, let me
Merry
clarify.
Christmas, everybody.
Let me clarify. Kripes Inc. is the company under which there are six people working there. Bill is kind of his own entity doing his own social channels, and Adam is his own entity doing his own social channels. So, you know, but you guys are very much so part of this podcast. So, you know.
Kind of step kids.
Can I plug one of my channels real quick?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead. Plug your channel.
Check me out on OnlyFans, Billy Deuce 86. Got some cool stuff coming out this week.
Bill.
And
Do you actually have an OnlyFans?
There's only one way to find out.
There is.
Oh, it's not sexual. I'm really into fans, like the appliance.
That would be really funny if you made an OnlyFans and just took a bunch of fan pics.
Yeah.
It'd be very fitting because there's only one person on this earth that can get into a cold truck after a full night of sitting outside and unthaw the windows faster than they defrost.
Did he say unthaw? Right,
he did say unthaw. I said unthaw. Very accurate. Bill is a very big fan of fans as well. Like, I remember this one time Bill was staying in the duplex in the upstairs bedroom, and the air conditioning was turned down to 59 degrees, and there were two box fans that he didn't bother to turn any of this off, by the way. So after about a day, I went back in there and just saw that my electricity bill was going to be through the duplex roof.
Well, you got solar panels on that roof, though, so
now
it's pretty much free.
Now I do have solar panels, but back then it was just the old-fashioned...
Wisconsin energy.
It's hard to be a hot guy, Bill.
It is.
You know, and we were in here earlier, and we were all in, like, our winter puffy coats. And, you know, we had literally just said,
Bill was visible.
We had literally just said it was super cold in the green room, and Billy walks in, he's like, God, it's hotter than...
Yeah. Well,
you know, he gets offended when you tell him that it's cold and I place that he's sweating.
But it offsets my impact on climate change because I don't need to use heat at all. My heat's not been on yet at my apartment.
Really?
It might be a pipe. There might be a pipe issue down the road. But you know, that's what plumbers are for. I don't own the place. They can't prove it was off. I'll turn it on before the landlord comes over.
Yeah. Well now they can.
Adam, can we discuss our new album? That's a topic of conversation we want to get out there. For those of you who don't know, Adam Gruhl and I, we have a group called Barons and Gruhl. And we had one album come out in 2020 called Unthawed. This is our second album called Dive Bar Dinner. And what was that process like working with Charlie on that?
Well, you know, I feel like, you know, our idea, you know, when we became buddies and also wanted to do some work together, our idea was that you kind of teach me comedy stuff and I kind of teach you music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to see how that's developed through the years because, you know, working on Unthawed, the album from 2020, you know, you were just literally learning like cadence with vocals and I mean like things like tempo, you know, and of course, you know, pitch slowly comes along too. So it was interesting.
Slowly is the key word.
For everybody though, you know, I mean, for, you know, me and Billy too, you know, Billy's a great, great musician and it didn't just come out of thin air, you know, you really had to grind through it to kind of get an understanding of it. So anyhow, I've seen, you know, this last album, Dive Bar Dinner, it was pretty easy, I'd say, you know, getting the vocals. Like, in a lot of ways, it was fun, which is the place you want to get to. Like, you know, for me now, doing a little bit of stand-up, I'm finally getting to the place where I feel, like, excited to do it, not, like, terrified to walk on stage, you know? Yeah. And that's what you want, you know? That's what makes it fun. That's where the joy, you know, comes from.
And I'll say this, it's been really cool watching you develop your stand-up. And actually, Bill, watching your stand-up develop over the past couple of years too, like it's cool to see you guys grow on stage. And I know I'm always like offside stage. Like as soon as you walk off, I'm like, all right, so here's what I'm doing, which probably isn't helpful.
No, I think it is. I think it is.
But here's my question for you, Adam. If I were to say you are as good at comedy as I am at singing, would you be offended?
No. I'd feel good about that.
Nice.
I really would.
We were talking about this on the ride here, and we were debating whether or not you were going to get pissed off.
No. What
I wanted to do is come in and, Adam, you know what? I really like your comedy. I think you're almost as good at comedy as I am at singing. And then I wanted to walk out of the room and just have these guys tell me how you reacted to that.
I wanted Adam's comeback to be, and I didn't even spend $1,000 on singing lessons.
I did. By the way, shout out to Dot Todman, my vocal coach, who has stuck with me despite my on and off practicing. That's really what it is. I don't practice.
Can you sing me a C?
A C?
Let's just give it a shot. See
what, hang, see on. What comes out. Hang on. Let me see.
I have no idea, by the way. I do not have relative pitch.
Oh, you don't? Perfect pitch is where you can hit any note.
Yeah, you can sing a note if someone's like, give me a B, you know?
But then relative would be like, if you give me a C, I can give you a D.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the idea.
Yeah, that's why they have the guys come up with the little tuning things.
Little pitch pipes.
Music, and I'm just learning how to relate music to like what I know about comedy. And it's like a slow, meticulous process. Mm-hmm. And consequently, I've had a lot of bombs, as you
were. Well, ditto. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is both of those are some sort of Zen flow thing. And, you know, it's interesting you bring this up because I noticed this several times this weekend on stage where I caught myself leaving the Zen place.
Yeah.
Beginning to concern myself with like even thinking, what if I forget what bit this leads into? And it's like, oh my God, if you let that unravel, you will not be able to continue in any way. It's like the entire thing is messed up. And with music, if you practice and you run a song enough or you think about your bits enough, it seems easier to achieve that Zen and just have fun. So it's like you do the work in advance, and then when you get to the performance, then I feel like you can feel the space and feel the energy in a room and work within that versus that like almost energy sucking activity of trying to recall things that are, you know, in the back of your mind instead of the front of your mind.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you want to have your comedy and your music so well rehearsed and practiced beforehand that memorizing the notes or knowing where you are musically, that's second nature. And then all you are trying to do is just be in that moment and live in that moment. It's a thing that comes naturally to some, and then to some others, it just takes like a lot of like tearing off layers of like insecurity and stuff to get to where you gotta go. Bill, when you do stand up, you have like a pretty natural thing for it, you know?
Thanks, man.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I feel like a natural grasp towards comedy, generally speaking, you know? So like when you go up there, do you feel yourself kind of falling into that place of, I don't know where this next bit is, or how do you handle that?
Sometimes, it depends on the circumstance. Like, you know, if we're doing a show where I don't have to do merch, I have a little more time to like drink more and I have a little more time to just kind of think and stuff. But coming from merch, sometimes I'm like wrapping up a transaction and I run back here, take a quick pee and I'm out there. And sometimes that's a little scary, but it always ends up the same. I mean, it's I think having been a musician before doing this, it helps because I don't really have any stage fright issues or anything like that.
Do you find this, there's a relationship between singing and doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah, there's a lot of common ground there. I mean, just because it's entertainment and performing, you know.
What's more scary to you, Bill? That situation you just described of having to run out on stage with no preparation, or us taking you to a packed bar?
Oh yeah, so I don't like being in crowds. I don't know what we figured out. It was some sort of phobia. We also found out there's a phobia of phobias.
A phobia.
Phobophobia. But I'm a not arachnophobic.
What's the fear of unreasonably small beer cups like we had last night? That was driving.
That's
me
just being rational.
It was driving me bonkers how small those. So this bar we were at. Shout out to the joint. It's actually a lovely bar.
Yeah, you just got to order four really time, fun. Man. We didn't realize.
I mean, I don't know how many beers I had last night because is that one third of a beer that?
It's a very German thing, I think, like just little beers. And I think the idea is that you do just order like four or five and kind of hand them out to friends or power drank them all to your face.
Yeah, Bill, you really parked yourself at the bar, and you were being very attentive to everyone's drinking needs. But
you were the gatekeeper.
I do get nervous in big crowds. I don't know what it is. I've always been that way. I didn't even like going to crowded bars in college. It's just part of it is like it's always a tiny men's room, and you got to wait to go in there. And then like if you are lucky enough that there's three or four urinals, there's always a bunch of guys in there. There's a line. I do get stage fright in that circumstance.
So you must not like the trough then.
Not a trough guy either. No. But, I can loosen up. I ended up having a really good time last night.
I love the trough.
I like the trough.
I like the trough too. It's kind of like, I would imagine in the wild, you know, you have four male turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one female turkey. The female turkey isn't in the bathroom, but we're all displaying our feathers. The trough.
That's a very interesting analogy for a trough, Dante. Potentially problematic if we extrapolate it out, but you know what?
When's the last time you saw a trough for pissing? I mean,
Camp Randall's got one. Yeah. A lot of dive bars still have the troughs.
The caboose in Minneapolis. At the garden, I
think. Yeah. It can either make you feel really good about yourself or you need to go see a doctor.
It is fun to make the jokes, though, urinal jokes, like you unzip and then you go, ooh, water's cold. Or you go, what's the other one? It's like, this is where all the hang out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic.
Nice
That's
watch.
A good one. Yeah. Speaking of which, Dante and I met at a Packers game at the urinal.
At the urinal.
No, you did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. We were in the same suite.
Uh-huh.
I knew who he was, but I was too scared to talk to him because he was there with friends, Mike Feldman.
Yeah.
This is the origin story.
Here's the origin story
of how me and Dante met.
I went pee. No one else in there. There's the huge line of urinals. I'm peeing, in walks this character, goes, he follows the unwritten rule. He doesn't go next to me.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. If he went next to you.
Not right next to me, but one over. But there was clearly 15 open urinals.
So he could have went way away.
He was
looking for a hey.
He was. And he looks over at me midstream and goes, hey, you're in the suite, right?
Yeah, you were seeking a friend.
What happened was I was a little intoxicated and I was at that moment of where like, I know this guy because I saw him in the suite. So I didn't want to be rude at this point.
Oh,
you know,
go far away.
Well,
because that wouldn't be right either, would it?
Well, see, here's the thing. If you go to a urinal and one guy is kind of in a place and you're going several urinals down, like you're hiding something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I wanted to, didn't want to make Dante uncomfortable, but I also didn't want him to think I was hiding like something.
You want to establish a little bit of dominance.
Yeah.
You should have come up behind him and just like rubbed his shoulders and been like, I've got a job opening at my company. And Dante, needless to say, would not be here.
Yeah, probably not. But Dante and I, we stayed in touch after that game, probably for like a year. Right. Because we were chit-chatting. You had a job you were still in college and then you got a job. And I was trying to figure out my company as I still...
Are we allowed to get up for another beer?
Yeah, Billy, go have a beer. Just take your mic pack with you, pal.
Okay.
So anyways, Dante, well, it's been great having you on board.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun.
Has it?
It sure has.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. We better have some fun to balance out the chaos of the deal.
Yeah.
And so that's good. And it's been a pleasure having you on. I'm impressed, Dante, because you came from a business background. Ooh. And, you know, that's initially why I was talking to you on it. Because like business stuff has always been, you know, I'm a space cadet. So, but it's been nice bringing you on because you bring that business expertise, but then also you've just got a good attitude and like all the stuff of like shooting you learned, editing you learned, and you've become really great at it. So
Dante is, if I may be so bold as to praise Dante for a moment, Dante is very organized, very, punctual and mature. You're 26?
I'm 26.
I'm 27. And like, I still feel like he's way more mature than me. Mm-hmm. 37. I'll be 37 tomorrow.
Happy early birthday. Yeah,
happy early birthday, Billy Boy.
And happy birthday to Keith Richards, Christina Aguilera, and Katie Holmes as well tomorrow.
Nice.
You have the same birthday as Keith Richards?
Yeah. Bunch of other people too. It's weird.
I have the same birthday.
I think people were getting busy in March because there's a lot of babies born around December and stuff.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that first hit of nice air.
But he is extremely essential and does a lot of stuff. And our age difference should be the other way around. He should be looking to me for advice. But sometimes I find myself asking Dante, what do I do in this situation? Mm-hmm. I also would not trust anybody else to drive the vehicle, not even myself.
Well, this is no really lovely, guys. This is
this is great.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, I got Billy Boy's glow on
my battery is low, but I got to go sell merch.
All right, Billy.
Well, somebody has to pay for all this stuff.
Bill, thank. By the way, Bill, thank you for selling merch at these shows. Really appreciate you.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, handle a lot there.
I'm taking a lot of pictures out there with people and.
Awesome.
Giving away a lot of free stuff and pocketing the cash.
Good luck, right, buddy. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate you.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Security is ramped up ahead of the massive New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square. James Smith is with the FBI's New York office.
There's been thousands of more threats have been reported, so that means we have even more threats that we have to look at. So we adjust to that. We bring in other resources to track down or to investigate these threats to see if they're legitimate.
California's coast is getting hit with storms causing dangerously high waves. Meteorologist William Churchill with the National Weather Service.
Through the early afternoon for Central California, some of the largest waves. And then through 10 p.m. tonight, the coastal flood warning and high surf warnings are still in effect for Southern California coastline.
South Africa is accusing Israel of committing genocide.
It has long been known for its pro-Palestinian position because the ANC, the ruling party, identified its own past struggle against apartheid and the Palestinian struggle for its nationalist cause.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A big win for Badgers hockey. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers men's hockey team won the holiday faceoff with a 3-0 win over Northeastern, the tournament held at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Wisconsin sophomore Simon Tassie with a hat trick, scoring all three goals, heard live on the Badgers radio network.
Tassie, nice catch out of midair on the pass by Kerr. Tassie gains the red line, dumps it in, and follows it up, and he goes five hole, and he scores! Tassie completes the hat trick.
So Wisconsin now 16-4, winning 7 straight, and they're ranked 6th in the nation. NBA, the Bucks win 119-111 over the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard, who got into foul trouble early in the first half, came back to score 24 points in the second half, a total of 31 for the night. Lillard's reaction to being benched with 3 personal fouls before halftime.
I was just pissed off, honestly.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly to mostly cloudy skies today. We'll see a high near 40 degrees. Some snow possible tonight with a low near 28. Snow is likely for Sunday. It'll be windy as well. North winds about 30 miles per hour. For Sunday night, chance of snow 26. Monday, sunshine and 35.
Right now, 35.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Here's a new way to ring in the new year. How about some peace and quiet? December 31st is officially No Interruptions Day, a holiday first introduced in 2014. It's considered an important way to take a break from your everyday distractions by focusing on yourself, your family, and friends. Those who celebrate No Interruptions Day say it's a great reason to turn off your phone, TV, and social media to instead slow down. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens. If you're just tuning in, this is the Cripes Cast with all of my 11 siblings. All right, that was the first round of the sisters. Now you get to hear from the brothers. Ladies and gents, we've got Andy Behrens, Billy Behrens, John Behrens, and of course, me, Charlie Behrens. You know, I don't know if we're going to have time for all these apologies, you know.
I can make mine real quick.
All right, John, make yours real quick.
Andy, on a certain way back from a fishing trip, I apologize for losing my temper over the humble suggestion that I should fix my car and make the phone call while you were there to hear it. Because you wouldn't believe it would be done otherwise.
I think we need to dig into this one a little bit.
This was World War III. John and Andy.
First of all, many of these apologies are from years and years ago. Years and years ago.
It's like, one like apology.
Years
ago. From,
this apology is from last year.
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. A year and a year ago. Feels like it might be a little fresh for both
John
of you.
John and Andy were driving back from up north. Andy asked John for a ride home. John, can I get a ride home? John is doing Andy a favor. Andy cannot help himself in the front seat an hour in. John, why is your mirror broken? John, why is your back window broken? And Andy just keeps digging and digging and digging. And eventually, what happens?
This was from a place of concern.
A place of concern.
I think we provided all the context we need.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, like, I just didn't want it to get broken further is the issue. Mm. And it was like it was hanging on for dear life. John's the back of John's car, like the rear view window.
Somebody broke it on the trip. That was the issue.
No, I don't think that was the issue.
Dad tried lifting the gate hinge and it crumbled.
I think it was correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a hasty repair that then came undone at that point. So it was broken prior to the trip.
It was a Ford, you know?
Yeah.
You know what they say? Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah. So I suggested that John should
That's
get
a
it
Fiat.
Fixed. Maybe.
I don't speak Russian. I'm sorry.
Maybe one too many times, but I did suggest it that he should.
So who's apologizing to who
It
here?
Was a tense car ride. Yeah, what do you... I'm sorry. I feel like I'm apologizing again. Well, I'm here to receive your apology for this.
Andy, I gave you my apology when I threw that screwdriver at you and missed.
Okay.
I'm sorry for missing.
All right, Andy. John is sorry for missing. Very good, John. Where's my apology?
Can we do a separate true crime podcast about that car ride?
Yeah, we should, honestly. Right. We really should.
Because no, there's a lot of material
the
there.
The amount of phone calls that were received at the next day fishing. Dad was in a boat 20 foot away from me and my boy. He goes, what the f- is wrong with your brothers?
You could hear him clear across the lake.
Yeah. Just airing out the grievances. As
this is the
John
first time I got yelled at by Charlie and Dad in the same phone call.
Charlie, my apology to you. During a certain trip to Baltimore.
Yeah.
I agreed to do merchandising for you.
Yeah,
and
you did.
I thought a getting to the airport a half hour ahead of time was enough time to check in my bags.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, I didn't realize this was your first time ever getting on a flight in your life.
Second time.
My bad. My bad.
John, what about the time that you were supposed to pick him up at the airport where it was?
Oh, yeah. I pay extra money to fly in to get in early so we can do a shoot. And I say, John, I'm at O'Hare. Okay.
You asked me this at 6 a.m.
Whatever. It was the day. It doesn't matter. You said, oh, yeah, I'll get you at O'Hare. And then I get to O'Hare and I'm waiting 20, 30 minutes. I'm on the phone with Max. And Max goes midway through the phone call. Hey, have you talked to John? And I go, no, I got to call him. I don't know where he is. I'll call you back. And then Max hangs up the phone. What happened during that phone call? Well, you know what? Forget it. I'll just say what happened next. I called John and I go, John, where are you? He goes, Charlie, don't be mad. I was like, John, I'm not going to be mad. Did you go to the wrong airport? He's like, yes, I did. I was like, that's fine. There's enough time. Midway is a ways away from O'Hare, but you'll make it. Just put it in your GPS, get to O'Hare. He goes, okay, it's going to be about an hour and a half. I was like, where are you? Mitchell, Milwaukee? Yeah. What the? And I lost every I ever
you
had.
Got mad. I told you not to get mad.
Yeah, you did tell me not to get mad.
Seeing this all unfold and watching all the phone calls come in for that was the funniest thing I've ever, like, I was like, you should probably go get Charlie, right? And you're like, yeah, I reminded you, because I was like, wait, like, where are you picking Charlie up? You left. Dante's like, oh, he's for sure at O'Hare. Like, we all were like, oh shit,
why didn't anyone tell me?
No, we said you should be going, and then you said he's at Mitchell. Do you but apology accepted?
We're playing rock, paper, scissors right now. What's going on?
This is a consolatory fist bump.
All right, John, I accept your apology. John, I apologize for blowing up on you after that and making you
pay half the, no, pay for the Uber, right?
Pay for the Uber. Yeah, I told John that he had to pay for my Uber, and then he started freaking out. He was like, the hell I do. He was getting so pissed. I was like, fine, you start driving to me, and then when you get to where I am, I'll have the Uber pull over, but you're paying for everything that the Uber tracks. I thought that was fair. All right, Billy, your apologies. Thank you, John. I appreciate the apology.
Well, I haven't done a lot of bad stuff, so I don't have too many apologies. Andy, I think we've been cool. I don't think I owe you any apologies. I only had an hour to think of something.
Yeah,
I think we're good.
20 minutes.
Can you think of anything
that you need to apologize to
me
for?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I've got multiple nail marks on my body from you scratching.
Oh, no, that's right. The wrist match. Oh, yeah. 2000.
Oh, boy.
2001? This was close to. Yeah, it's 2000. It's 2001.
In front of the Lauer girls.
Yeah.
You scratched.
Just Bill.
It wasn't
Bill
like.
Bill got mad.
You know. But I definitely went for it.
Bill just turned into a tornado of teeth and nails.
No, beat up. Okay. There were no teeth involved.
You beat up Andy in front of the Lauer girls?
I wouldn't say it was beating up. It was not.
Not your best moment?
Not my best moment.
Not a good fighter.
Here's the thing. I went for the Australia strategy, where you take Australia, you build up all your troops in New Zealand, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
Weak strategy.
It's never worked out.
Africa is better.
Thought, hey, one last time, I'll try for it.
I think we made the Lauer girls play risk. We're on like turn 67 of this game.
That's what we really ought to be apologizing
Bill's
for.
Bill's committed to the Australia strategy.
It didn't work. It didn't work in real history. It's not working out on risk. And I built it up. Andy managed to take Asia, which, you know, in retrospect was kind of impressive.
I think the incident that caused the fight was dice were dropped on the board and scrambled up the little men. And we were trying to decide which one went where.
And you tried to allocate my troops to Western Australia. They clearly belonged in New Zealand.
Cheating was
alleged. Nobody puts that many
party.
Troops in Western Australia. And things got unpleasantly and violent, not in a dignified way. And that's how I'll phrase it. And for that, I'm sorry.
It was not befitting of the game.
You cheated.
Played by gentlemen in front of a map of the world. Anyways, there's still scratches on my back.
Nah, you're
from
fine.
You and on my forehead.
No.
Yeah.
Billy, old Billy long nails.
Bill, yeah.
Well, apology accepted.
Bill was like Hellcat Maggie from Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
That was how he fought with people. Bill memorably said outright, my strategy is not to win the fight, it's to make it not worth it for you to fight me.
It's an effective strategy when you have two older brothers.
It's very valid. It's
yeah, true. It is.
John knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Not my friends, it's a minority.
Yeah. Throw the elbows.
No one wants to go try and kill the rabid raccoon. No, not worth it.
No.
Okay. Let's get to some stuff here. All right. John, what was it like?
No, you didn't apologize.
What?
You did not apologize.
Oh, that's what I was going
to
say.
He gave an apology to me.
I thought it was nice that you got apologized 2-3 times.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you like how that works?
I like that we're recording your therapy.
I got some apologies. Okay, let's see here. Andy, do you remember the time that we were driving to school and we were going from one parking lot to another parking lot and there was a 3-foot dip between the parking lots?
Yeah.
And
I reenacted Blues Brothers.
Yeah, and you literally drove over that.
Yeah.
I told you that you were the dumbest person I've ever met in my life. And a bunch of other things that I still to this day can't repeat on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And despite all those things being true, I do apologize.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
Yeah. Bill, I do have some apologies for you. I apologize for giving you the name Bildo. Just because it rhymed with another word it's not appropriate. And
yeah,
I'm
no.
sorry that I taught your son how to say it too.
I really appreciate you apologizing for that in front of a national audience.
Yeah.
And
regional. You know, mostly regional.
I bet there's
national.
One guy in Alaska.
Oh, okay. You gonna apologize to me for that too?
No,
yeah, I've got at least 3 people in Alaska.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bi-coastal.
Yeah. And also sorry for, breaking your leg.
Don't remember how you were involved in that. It feels like you're riding Andy's coattails.
Stolen valor.
All right. So apologies on that. And John, I'm sorry for when you were a kid teaching you how to headbutt. I think it gave you brain damage.
It sure did.
There it is, folks. Me and my brothers. Let's get back to the podcast. My conversation with Addie Behrens, Emily Behrens, Nora Behrens, Ellie Behrens. Did I say all of them?
Yeah.
I did?
Yep.
All right. And of course, I'll be there too. Here you go. We have 8 sisters in the Behrens family. We had the 4 on earlier, and now we have the next 4 on. So just to recap, everybody.
Why did you go with the first 4 as the first 4?
That's a Colleen question, actually.
Because those 4 were the first ones to respond to Colleen.
All right, let's take it from the top here. All right, so a few questions. This is a mom or dad thing. So these are the little things you got. This is the game that we're playing. Who's the most likely to help you on your homework, mom or dad?
Oh, it depends.
It depends on which one.
What's the subject?
Oh, yeah, dad for math, mom for English.
Mom mark up the margins of your paper.
If you want dad to see it. All right, what is this plus this equal? All right, now divide by 50. What's the answer? That's not the answer. What is, okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you need to do your homework. That's how dad kind
of
does it.
Yeah,
he would just kind of be like, what is 15% of 382? And then he'd be like, it's easy. This is how you do it. And then you have to follow along and pretend. And then
he still does that.
Yeah.
He did to me the other day.
Yeah.
When we were gambling for the sports or something for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. What math did you? It was a $2 buy-in.
Actually, it wasn't that. It was something else. It was.
Oh, so you lied.
Oh, no. It was when I was scuba diving.
Oh, and you tried to explain what the Benz was to an anesthesiologist sitting at the table.
Right. Yeah. Someone described it as Jesse Pinkman trying to describe how to make meth to Walter White.
That was funny.
Yeah. Dad, when you're bad at math, dad doesn't take too good to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Stoichiometry was a beast.
Oh,
with
God.
Dad.
That word just
Emily
gave me.
Emily also did
shivers.
Not do her homework from the ages of negative 2 till now.
from like the third grade to probably 10th grade, 12th grade, I didn't do homework very regularly
at all,
which drove a little bit of a wedge between me and Dad. We spent a lot of time gathering assignments and doing them at 11 p.m.
Wow. 11 p.m., the kitchen table.
To be fair, I still graduated college and everything, and I have a job. We're all good. Honestly,
were you not a good student?
I was a terrible student.
Emily was like the worst. Certifiably the terrible. Girls.
Most likely to give love life advice, mom or dad.
Love life advice.
Love life advice. I don't know. I don't think.
Life advice.
Love life advice. Most likely to give you love life advice.
Oh, a mixed bag. A mixed bag.
Well, I don't know. Honestly, it's different times. Yeah, I'm not a good example on this one. I'm not the best example.
I'm doing long distance with my boyfriend, and my dad was like, well, how often do you guys talk? And I was like, oh, every day. Like, we talk like pretty constantly. Like, and he goes, that's when I knew I was going to marry your mom. And I was like, okay, good to know. Yeah, and that's the only thing. They also call him my special friend. So those are the two levels.
Conrad was my friend until he's very still recently.
They don't call him your boyfriend?
Dickie. Not yet.
Tall Potter. Is he really your boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Charlie also calls him just a friend.
No, I just know him as a tall Harry Potter. I don't know what you kids are doing, if you're like official or whatnot. I don't know.
Charlie, his name?
What's that?
What's his name?
Tall Potter is his name. Oh, my God. I know his name.
Charlie.
He's been in the family for like a year.
Charlie.
I knew you were going to ask.
Nobody answer this one for him. I want to see
one. All right.
His vein is popping out. That means he's in really big.
Oh, my God.
I know. Nora and
like, throw out any name. See what sticks.
We've been dating for over a year.
I got no idea. I just called him Tall Potter.
All right.
Is it Harry? Hang on, I'll get it. Is it like Jeff or Dan or something?
It's one syllable.
One syllable? Sounds like one of our brother's names.
No, that's confusing.
It kind of rhymes with Ron.
Don.
It's
John.
It's Irish.
John. It's
like, wrong.
Oh, it's Irish. No, what? It's Irish. It. It's yeah. I got no idea.
Charlie, you basically said it.
What?
Sean.
Would have never guessed. Honestly, would have never guessed.
All right.
I don't think you've ever introduced us.
I did.
He's been over
the
many
very,
times.
Very, very first time.
I do know Sean's name. Now that you say that, I do. All right. Most likely to skip Sunday Mass. Dad. Okay. Most likely to tear up the dance floor. Dad. Who's a better singer?
Mom has a really good voice.
What is so funny?
Mom does these cute little lullabies because everyone was like, oh, they don't have good voices. I was listening to the other podcast. They were so mean about it. Mom has a really good lullaby voice, and Dad has a cute little like kind of jingle along, kind of like a just kind of hum along kind of good voice. I do. So it depends.
They have different songs that they favor. So like Mom will sing
I love.
Yeah, I think Mom.
Yeah.
It's right. It's got, it can't just be any song.
I got ham. I got turkey. I got caviar.
No, but Dad babbles in the Billy Joel era, like that kind
babbles?
Of
babbles.
Dabbles. You know.
I'm thinking more like a.
All right, so it's a toss up. It's a toss up. Who are you more scared to tell bad news to?
Hmm.
Depends what it is.
Oh, like, nowadays
Nowadays, probably mom.
That's true.
Historically speaking, dad for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. On those days that I didn't do my homework and my teachers talked to my parents, I'd be walking down the road on the way home from school. We walked to school. And I would see if my dad's car was in the driveway or not.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I knew if I had to, you know, mentally prepare for whatever conversation I was going into.
Or when dad would go to conference night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you never want dad to go to conferences.
The most we could hope for was that he'd be on a call on conference night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to try and get them to sign stuff that was not really good. And you did that by stacking it in the middle. You put the bad grades in the middle, obviously. Sometimes if it was really bad grade, you put a smiley face sticker over it. And then they didn't realize that was a bad grade because you put a smiley face sticker over the D and they would sign it.
Right. All the red ink
so
wasn't an
indicator.
So did you
come clean about that one?
I don't know how they figured it out. I think I did come clean at one point, you know, but then they also found at one point in the basement, they found a piece of paper where I was practicing mom and dad's signatures.
Yeah.
And that was a dead giveaway that I
was. Isn't that all page 37 in all of our notebooks?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Didn't we all do that?
Well, it's a very easy signature.
I would tell mom I was going on a field trip and she was like, how'd you get permission distinct. For that? And I said, I signed it for you. And she was like, Nora,
oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, but
you,
then that
you
was as
learned
sad
forgery
as she
that young.
I did too. I had to. I got yelled at for forging signatures, and I had to go to Google and look up what does forgery mean.
I was very young. Yeah.
I knew Sean. I knew the name.
I know. I know.
I couldn't
worry.
Think of it. I you couldn't think it. Of it. I was under pressure.
Wow. Like, the last way you ended this the last podcast is you gave advice to each person with all of them in different stages of life.
Oh, yeah. All right. Soon to be mother. What do I know about that? You know, time flies, you know, and well, you know that you're 30 already. So, you know, Addie, I don't know. Just enjoy every moment with the little bundle of joy.
That's the same advice you gave to Betsy.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, then it fits. Why would I want to give Betsy more advice than I gave you? I feel like that's pretty even, you know? Okay, I'll say this. I'll say this. all right. They're going to lie to you a lot and tell you a bunch of BS. And then at some point in their life, you got to catch them. And then they're still going to lie to you. Just let them get away with it.
Well, this took a very different spin than Betsy's now.
What was Betsy's?
Like, enjoy every moment.
Yeah,
it's like, not going to last forever.
Go so fast.
I've said that and you rejected
mine is like
it.
The little is going to lie to you.
You pulled out bad advice. I was giving you good advice. Enjoy the moment, because I'm thinking about like what I said with Ellie when I was 19. I feel like it was just yesterday. Now I'm like, whatever, 35. So that's a
you're
long
35.
Yeah, and you're 30s. Okay.
Whoa, but you're
halfway to 70.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Holy cow.
Okay.
Whoa. Isn't that crazy?
No, but you guys, what I'm telling
you,
you
my dad.
Do you get grays?
How's your periodontitis?
Do you tweeze out your grays?
No, I don't tweeze out my grays. I don't have grays. I'm just that relaxed.
No, you definitely have some.
Where?
Do you know who
I
doesn't
could
have
probably
grays?
Look with
Dad
a
does
flash
not have grays.
Dad has grays.
Now
Dad
has grays. Dad now has like what? Like no, two strips of gray. Have you seen my dad?
Yeah. He does have a lot of black hair still.
Yeah.
So that's good. Anyway, Addie, live in the moment. Enjoy it. Yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow. Nora, always... Always remember the names of people you meet, okay? Because, no, Nora, okay, so you're going into dentist school. I think really just follow...
She's in dentist school.
You're in dentist school, but really follow your passion, I think. You know, like, if you actually want to do something, but someone's like, oh, it's not going to make as much money or this or that, I would just do it, you know? And if... I don't know what you want to go
well,
into.
She's going to make a lot of money. She's going to be a dentist. So that's a bad example.
Do all dentists make a lot of money?
It depends.
Well, I don't know.
Nora, what's your anticipated salary?
I have no idea. Right now, it's $100,000
I'm just kidding.
In debt.
Okay. In debt.
Yeah, so that's fun. Anyway.
Charlie, what's your advice about debt?
Debt?
Yeah.
What's your advice for long-distance relationships?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're in a long-distance relationship?
Yes.
You should get to, oh, God.
With who,
a long-distance relationship? You really want my advice?
I don't think so.
No. Hey, do you like him? Do you like, is he nice to you? Is he
broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at wiscaregivercdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media.